And we took this month to be a month of consecration, and we did an overview the first week. Last week, I talked about dressed and anointed. Now, if you were to compare the last lesson that I put out on the web, I decided to change the order. I was going to do the last two things, and so I moved one thing up, and I'm putting the other thing lower. So this week, I'm talking about pulling down strongholds, because consecration, drawing near to God, involves pulling down some strongholds. It involves getting some things away from you. And so I swapped that with the drawing near. And then, although there is one more Saturday, I may do something special, and it may be a surprise. I think I'll keep it secret. I'm just on the 28th. Sorry? You want me to go back? You know it's on the web now. Okay, you have a smartphone now, right? The Lord blessed you. So you can get all of that on the web. But I did change the... Huh? You've forgotten. Okay, all right. So I might do ready for service, or I might do a complete surprise. I have something in mind for the very last Sunday. So this week, we're going to talk about pulling down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," that means we're not spirits, "we don't war, we don't fight with our fists." You know, we don't fight with our fists. Not really. That's not how we're supposed to be defending ourselves. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There are certain things that are strongholds. And if we need to deal with them, there's a certain way that we have to deal with them. Addictions are strongholds. You know, sexual perversion is a stronghold. And if we're going to get consecrated, we're going to have to deal with those things. And you can't fight those things with your fist. You have to fight them with the weapons that are given to us. The Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You may say, "Well, what does this have to do with consecration?" Well, I'm going to show you that it does. And so I'm going to kind of start at the beginning, and really the Lord showed me this maybe about a month ago, or at least I knew about it, or at least I was aware of it, but he just so emphasized it to me, so much more importance that it came to me, and that you have to, and I have been mentioning this, you have to clear the atmosphere. You may be full of the Holy Spirit all you want, but if the atmosphere around you is demonic, you're going to be fighting very hard. You're going to be struggling very hard. So one of the things we need to do is clear the atmosphere. And I'm going to touch on that. And the reason why we need to clear the atmosphere is because Satan, one of his main titles is Lord of the Air, Beelzebub. Luke 11:15. When they were talking to Jesus, they said, you cast out demons by Beelzebub. I wonder if you could close that door. We're going to keep that one closed now that there is a heater in the foyer. But some of them said, "He casted out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of devils or the prince of devils." And Ephesians 2:2, speaking about this, says, "Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." What it's speaking about is the atmosphere. There is, if we, this would scare us to death, but if God would open our spiritual eyes, we would see that all around us, there's spiritual warfare going on. I think to a couple people I gave some audiobooks. What were they called again? The Chronicle, was it? But in those books, and if you would like a copy, please speak to me. It really brought out the spiritual warfare, didn't it? what was going on all around us unseen. We're just going about our business, and we don't realize that there's angelic forces and spiritual forces battling for you, battling for your mind, trying to divert you, trying to capture you. And a lot of times, a lot of things we do are under pressure. We don't realize that Satan has diverted us into certain little traps. And this happened to me when I was 18. And my dad, as I told you before my testimony, he took me on a drive and sat me down in the car. And he said, you know, you're not acting like normal. And somehow the grace and mercy of God let that, what his words impacted me. I was at a crossroads in my life. It could have gone either way. I could have rejected what he said and I would have been in a completely different place, completely different direction. Somehow the words that he said made me reflect, and I thought about the previous 18 months. And he says, you know, you're not acting like you. A lot of things you're doing, it doesn't seem like you. And I thought about it. And I realized that I had been manipulated. You can be a Christian and you can be in an atmosphere where the devil can manipulate you. And if you stay in that atmosphere long enough, you'll end up doing, saying, acting in ways that months ago you'd think, I'd never do that. And it was just his words made me reflect, and I thought, you know. And I started to think about things I had done, and somehow the grace of God grabbed hold of me, and I acknowledged, and I said, yes, Dad. That was the turning point in my life at 18 years old. Jesus had to turn to Peter and say, Satan, rebuke you. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because he is the prince of the spiritual atmosphere. There is a war going on around you for your soul. And you get to pick whose side you're on. You can either help your angel or not. And what I'm telling you is that in concept, why this is important about pulling down strongholds, because this is how we get consecrated, is to change the atmosphere. In Ephesians that we've been studying, he says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, in the New Testament, it's spelled a little bit differently. It's the Greek spelling of Beelzebub. And Beelzebub was, in the Old Testament, a god of the Philistines god. But really, it represented Satan. That's what the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of, that he had cast out the demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. And I'm going to break down the meaning of that word to show you that it is speaking about spiritual atmosphere. And that's why a lot of us struggle, because we haven't cleansed the atmosphere. Now, sometimes you have to go into a place, you have to go to work. But Jesus in John 17 prayed for that kind of circumstance. He said, I don't pray for the whole world, but I pray that you will keep them from this world. So you can be kept in an atmosphere where you don't have a choice. But where you have a choice, you need to either cleanse the atmosphere or get out of the atmosphere. Getting real quiet. But I am giving you some tools, some teaching for consecration. Let's go a little bit further. So in the Old Testament, Baal just means Lord. And the real meaning is to exercise dominion. And so that word is used many times in the Old Testament in many circumstances. But it means to exercise dominion. So Baal-zebub means he exercises dominion in the spiritual atmosphere. Zebub meaning to fly or to flit or to go to and fro. Remember in Job chapter 1 where Satan came and he said, where have you been? He says, from going to and fro in the earth, the atmosphere, in the atmosphere. That's why before we can do much, we're going to have to do something about the atmosphere. We have to do something about our atmosphere. In the Old Testament, you'll find that because this was the place of contact, point of contact with fallen demons, we find, first of all, that the Tower of Babel was really a temple of worship to the fallen demons. And you'll find in the Old Testament that when they wanted to worship the demons, they made a... Anyone can guess? Where did they go? You wanted to get contact with an aerial demon, what would you do? What did you say? High places. That's what they used to do in the Old Testament. They built high places. That was where they worshipped strange gods and fallen beings and spiritual demons. When the Midianites wanted to curse Israel, they brought Balak where? Up to a high place to look over Israel to pronounce a curse. Numbers 22:41. And it came to pass that on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal. They built altars where they sacrificed to demons. And sometimes it wasn't animals they were sacrificing. Sometimes it was babies. To the god Moloch, they burnt babies. Today we don't say they're burning babies when they commit abortion, but I'm sure God is still as mad as he was back in the Old Testament. So they went into the high places of Baal, and thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. He went up to the altar of Baal to conjure up the spirits to curse Israel. Jeremiah 19:5 says, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn. Isn't that just absolutely revolting? Burn their sons with fire for a burnt offering. Unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. So we see that Satan's power is spiritual atmosphere. That's why I'm saying to get consecrated, you're going to have to do something with it. You know, when you go into a bathroom, usually they have some kind of spray in there, don't they? To deal with the atmosphere, right? Or they open a window, you open a window or something. You don't want that atmosphere to get out into the rest of the house, right? We need to get our spiritual spray, Febreze or whatever it is, as a start. We need to have our spiritual spray to deal with the atmosphere, because you'll see in the Old Testament and all the way through that he's called the prince of the power of the air. Right now, hopefully not in here, but outside is a pack of demons, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, I'm just telling you what I truly believe, that are waiting for you. They're just waiting to pollute your atmosphere, your spirit, so that as soon as you leave this place, you've just had a great service, you've just had a word, you're on a high, you go outside, and immediately something comes to steal your joy and to pollute your atmosphere. One of the first things that God always told the godly kings, you got to take down the high places, destroy them, change the atmosphere. Let's look at this. See, this is what I'm talking about, that it is part of consecration. In 2 Kings 18:1, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Verse 3 is very significant. Because in the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll always find this sentence. It'll either say he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or it will say he did that which was wrong in the sight of the Lord. But Hezekiah was a good king. And it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David did. And what is the first thing he did as it becomes king? He's starting consecration. He's starting to remove all the high places where the people were going to worship the false gods, to worship demonic powers, to cleanse the atmosphere around his kingdom. He removed the high places, break down the images, and cut down the groves. The Christmas trees. They did. They worshipped evergreens. They bedecked them like we do today. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. I really think that song is a little bit blasphemous. So my personal opinion is don't worship your Christmas tree. They decorated groves with beautiful gold and jewelry and worshipped. You know what they even did? They took the bronze serpent that Moses had made, and this gives you the reason why God had forbidden them using it, and they started worshiping it. And so Hezekiah had to destroy that too and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it a name. Now, when they burn incense, where's that incense going? In the atmosphere. When we pray, where's that going? Okay. Now you start to see how you begin to cleanse the atmosphere. Prayer. Lots of prayer. More prayer. We need to pray all over. Those who were out Friday and watched the film, that's what she did. She started to pray all over her house. What was she doing? Speaking to the atmosphere. She, you know what? We have been given as a child of God dominion. If we walk in sonship, we have the right to speak. Words declare some things. The Bible says, go and wait at Jerusalem until you be endued with what? Power. The atmosphere sometimes needs cleansing. And a lot of times, I used to kind of discount this a lot. A lot of times we bring things into our house, our homes, which we think, that's nothing. Or we let things come into our house and we don't understand or realize there's spiritual warfare going on. We are feeding our enemy. We are listening to things, watching things, and polluting the atmosphere. We need to turn it off. Put on something godly. You know, I used to discount, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. That stuff's not affecting me. I can tune out this word and that word. Right? I'm strong. I can tune this out. It's not going to bother me. I have the Holy Ghost. True. But all you're doing is polluting your atmosphere. You are making it harder for yourself. Not that you're going to be lost, but you are filling your mind with things that are not of God, that are not going to help you spiritually, that are not. And then you see, we come to church and then we want to pray for someone that the miracle happens and raise the dead. That's not going to happen because we have not been in full communion with God. Just telling you like it is, right? Amen. We need to cleanse the atmosphere because, as you saw, Beelzebub means dominion over the atmosphere. That's what they built all the high. That's where they went to worship, the high places. That's where Balak went to try and curse Israel. Except God changed his mouth that only blessing could come. If we could open our eyes, if God could open our eyes, probably we'd be so scared. We didn't realize how much we were aiding and abetting the enemy. We were giving him weapons. Because here's, I'll get to it. I'll show you how we give him weapons. It's coming. So Hezekiah, verse 4, he removed the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses has made. Because as I said, they started worshiping and offering incense into the atmosphere. See, something that God had used for good, they now had misused for evil. See, we have to consecrate the house. 2 Chronicles 29:3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves. Separate yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. You know, at Passover or the 7 days before Passover, religious Jews, you know what they do? Right? You know what they do, Melissa? They go through their whole house looking for leaven, removing it because it would defile. We don't have to wait the 7 days. We should go through our house and start looking. Is there anything in here that is can be used as a weapon? And I'm going to show you how it can be used as a weapon. Is there magazines? Is there things that I'm letting into my atmosphere? You know the TV can pray for you. It's offering up incense into your atmosphere to the brazen serpent, depending on what you got coming out of there. I really didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I heard about it and Beyonce and all of that mess. See, the devil packages his little incense packet with something else that you might want to see or hear. You know, that's how they give children medicine. They package it in something sweet. If it was the naked, horrible thing, you go, no, I don't want that. But if he can package his scent into something else that you take it in, I'm just saying, okay? We are aiding and abetting the enemy in many. I'm talking about consecration. The high priest could not officiate as high priest unless he separated himself from the people. He had to lock himself away from internet, from family, from anything for 7 days before the Day of Atonement, just in case something happened and he got defiled. See, the battle for consecration is all around us. There is actually spiritual warfare going on. There are demonic forces that have been appointed to destroy you, literally. They have names. Just as how there are angelic beings that have been appointed to defend you, there are demonic forces that have been appointed to destroy you. And you get to decide which one you arm. Fill your atmosphere with prayer. Don't let your TV pray to the spirits by turning it on and let filth and foul come out of it. Because it's filling your atmosphere. We have to pull down some strongholds. I'll prove it to you. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, why did the Lord use that analogy? Right. You know where they went to sift wheat? The high places. And what the wind would do? Would blow away the chaff. That's why the Lord used that analogy. I believe he was trying to show it's the atmosphere around you, Peter. You have a good heart, Peter. You want to do right. But if you let go up to these high places, Satan will easily influence you. We've quoted this scripture many times. We forget so much that we're not fighting the person who just said something to you. It's the atmosphere. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Where? It's the high places they went to conjure up these demonic hordes, because that is his main dominion. Peter, or he called him Simon this time, Satan desires to sift you. I'm telling you that Satan desires to sift you, me, as wheat. Because it's the high places is where they went to do that. It was the high place that the angel came to bring destruction on Jerusalem. Well, you see, Satan uses the children of what? Disobedience. He has to use someone, but you have to realize what's going on. But we can arm him by being in the wrong atmosphere and putting incense into our atmosphere that isn't prayer, that isn't praise, that isn't worship. Amen? And so we see that it's our atmosphere is very important. Look at this. Mark 15:8. And this is actually what the Lord showed me, and I mentioned it before. Mark 15:8, that the multitude, this is when they were had Jesus arrested. Jesus in John said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me." Mark 15:8, and the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. This is Pilate. They wanted Pilate to release someone to them. Barabbas. Barabbas. Anyone remember what that means? We say Barabbas, but really that's not what it is. What does bar mean? Son, yeah. Bar is Aramaic for son. Ben is Hebrew for son. Same thing. And Abbas. No, close, but no. You all know what Abba means, right? Okay, so now put it together. They came saying that we want you to release Barabbas, son of the Father. Right? This is just a side thing since we're on it. Jesus said, if another come in his name, in him, you're going to see. What Pilate was saying, do you want this son of the Father or this son of the Father? They said they wanted this one, Barabbas. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Thousands of people were in Jerusalem, maybe tens of thousands actually, and they were there for the Passover. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? They couldn't answer. They couldn't say what he had done. Do you understand what's going on here? The atmosphere. They were just a mob under an atmosphere. And the atmosphere was telling them what to say. Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath they done? What did they answer? Well, he did this. No. They actually could not find anything because there was nothing. All they could say was what the atmosphere was telling them to say. Crucify him. Crucify him. Right? So now I've described the atmosphere. How do we deal with it? We're in this month of consecration. How do you deal with your atmosphere? Fasting, I've described one. We know that they were worshiping and burning and praying to the brazen serpent, polluting the atmosphere. And so we can tell that if we want to start to clear the atmosphere, prayer is definitely one of the things we need to do. We have to take authority. In that movie, and I'd never seen the movie, so I didn't know that's what it was going to say because I'd already planned all of this. You saw she took authority. She went through the room and she even went outside and told the devil he had to go. Kicked him out the house. Now look at this. This is what Jesus did now after the crucifixion. Now, the atmosphere made them cry out, crucify him. And I'm telling you it's the atmosphere because 3 days before, just 3 days before, tens of thousands of probably the same people, what were they saying then? Doesn't that blow your mind that just 3 days before Palm Sunday, Jesus is coming in and tens of thousands are saying to him, Hosanna. That's why I'm telling you it wasn't them. A demonic horde had descended on Jerusalem. That's why they just turned into a mob. And probably the same sets of people were saying, crucify him. They didn't even know why. Now, after he died, the Bible said, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Consecration. What did he say? Draw near to me. Right. He died so that he could bring us to God. Now, how is he going to do that? The first thing that Jesus is going to do, he's going to have to clear the atmosphere. He allowed the atmosphere to be that way because that's why he came, to die. But now that he has died, it says, by which also he went and preached, and that word means proclaimed, unto the spirits in prison. Psalm 68:18 says that thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. He went down there and took authority. He released the prisoners. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Matthew 28:18, when he arose, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So you saw in the film, she took authority. She declared on authority of Jesus, who has all power, that the atmosphere needed to be cleansed. She declared that, devil, you're not having my husband. You need to declare, devil, you're not having my child. Devil, you're not having my body. You're not having my health. Start to declare that into the atmosphere. Amen? So now let's look how it works. Because Jesus went down there and the Bible said he took captives. He disarmed the devil. Let's just go there. Look at this. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled, that means disarmed. Remember I said we can arm. We can arm. Jesus, when he went, he disarmed Satan. He took away his weapons. And that's why I'm saying we must make sure we don't give him any back. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Jesus disarmed Satan. Principalities and powers. He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. I'm going to explain how he did that. The Bible says he did it through the cross. But it needs a little bit more explanation for you to understand how the cross triumphed over Satan. Now, in Mark 3:27, this is still to do with Jesus casting out the demons now. Remember Beelzebub? Jesus explained to them what you have to do. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, that means take them, except he will first bind the strong man. So when Jesus went into hell, he had to do some binding. And then he will disarm his house. Now I'm going to explain how Jesus disarmed Satan. What was Satan's weapon against us? The flesh, okay. But any more detail than the flesh? Yes, but can you say what was it specifically? From Adam up until the time of Moses, what was his weapon against us? Sin, yes. Bible says sin was in the world, right? But sin was not imputed because there was no law, right? But it didn't mean that people still didn't die. Still died, except it was not imputed. But once the law came, then it started getting accounted. God wanted to show, to bring it out and to make it clear where we really were. It was actually the ordinances, the law, was Satan's weapon. Because what was he using? How was he using the law to get us? That's right. The accuser. He brought guilt. Guilt separates. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They went and hid. Instead of consecration, what's the opposite? Instead of drawing near to God, what did they do? Run away. The weapon that Satan was using was God's law, just as how the serpent on the brazen stick they use now to worship Satan. That thing, when they looked at it, when they confessed their sin by looking at it, healed them. But then they started to worship it as an object. So what I'm trying to say to you is that how the cross took away his weapon is he took and wrote, finished. He paid the price. Therefore, Satan cannot come, use that weapon anymore, and accuse you and make you guilty of death. So he disarmed him through the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, when he became the sin offering, he took all of the ordinances. Look at this. Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Let me put it in a modern translation. He canceled the record of the charges. You know what that means? Satan cannot accuse you of anything. It's not that you didn't do it or even will do it. But if you confess, he cannot use it against you. That was his weapon, and that brought guilt, that brought separation, that brought fear, that brought despair, that brought judgment. But if we pick up what God has already thrown away, you know what we're doing? We are rearming him. That's what we do. I'm going to show you how we do that sometimes. He canceled the record of the charges. I had a very long rap sheet. Oh my goodness. I'm sure if I could see my spiritual rap sheet, right? I'm going to be 60 this year. It'd be long. They'd say, this is a repeat offender. Aren't you glad God doesn't have three strikes and you're out? Aren't you glad it's not three strikes and you're out with Jesus? That's what Peter thought. If my brother offend me and I forgive him seven times, he thought, that's pretty good. I'm pretty righteous and holy and merciful. Oh, my rap sheet would be really long. But thanks be to God. Through the cross, he tore that up. This is how he disarms Satan. So Satan has nothing to say, cannot say anything against a child of God because he canceled the charges. It's like you went to the restaurant and you didn't realize that the prices were, And you spent and ate a huge meal and ordered up the lobster and everything. And now they're about to maybe call the police. Someone just comes in and just gives them their American Express platinum card and says, it's okay, it's on me. And you get to walk out. That's how Jesus disarmed him, took away the weapon. That's how now we can come near. This is what part of consecration is. He says, now you can come near having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Jesus went and bound the strong man. Now, the problem is, though, if we allow the atmosphere, we can start to rearm him, because what happens is we start to let things come into our life which produces what? Guilt. We start to do little things, and we are rearming him. And now, even though Jesus died for us, even though the charges were canceled, because we keep into a negative atmosphere, we are letting the devil say, but yes, he did die for you. Yes, he did forgive you, but he's not forgiving you now. We are rearming him. Let's go on. Now, the fulfillment of this is, and I mentioned this, but I just wanted to bring it out. I have no doubt that's why the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, because I believe Jerusalem had become an epicenter of demons. Because Satan knew that was where the church was going to start. In fact, even in the Old Testament, you'll see that the promised land, Canaan, was filled with demonic spirits. And that's one of the reasons why God took them out of Canaan for a while to bring them back. That's why they were in Egypt. He said, the sin of the Amorites has not yet come to full measure. He was going to use the Israelites to go back into Canaan when he had concentrated to destroy them. So we see now that the Holy Spirit came specifically to clear the area. We're going to have to open up the windows. Sometimes the spray is just not enough in that bathroom. You got to fling the windows wide open and let that mighty rushing wind come through. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now I want you to see how precise God is. It could have said, and it filled all of them. What does it actually say? It filled the atmosphere. Do you see that? It didn't just fill them. Yes, it filled them. But it needed to fill the house first. It needed to fill the house. It had to send all of those things flying. I believe that there was such a storm that came on that day, spiritually speaking, that there wasn't a demon left for miles around. Because now those same thousands of people who didn't even really realize what they were doing. Because you understand, Pilate asked them, well, why should I? They couldn't answer. All they said was like robots. See, the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of those that they should not believe. They are blinded by Satan. And as you can see, the wind did not just fill them. It filled the atmosphere. It filled the house. That's what we want. If we want to have consecration, if we want to have miracles, it's got to have to be more than filling us, because, yes, we can be filled, but now we're fighting demons all the time. We're fighting atmospheric presences that we don't even see. And that's why it came as a whirlwind, and it didn't just fill them, it filled the house. And I believe it actually filled more than that, because it goes on to say it was noised abroad. It was noised abroad. This wind made so much noise that people said, what's going on? And I'm going to show you an Old Testament example of that to show you this wasn't just a chance happening. The wind in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37:9, God took him to a valley of what? Dead bones. The atmosphere needed to be changed. And God asked him a question, can these bones live? Can your situation live? Can your family member be saved? Can your job be saved? Can your body be healed? If we get to the place of consecration and we have that wind come, that spiritual wind that clears out the atmosphere, then I really believe all things are possible. Then he said unto me, prophesy. In other words, proclaim, take authority, declare some things unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. Come. That's what we need to go in our house, go in our car and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, wind of God, fill not just me. See, we've been praying, fill me. Give me power. Fill the atmosphere. Fill the house. Fill my workplace. Fill my school. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, I declared as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. See, God was foreshadowing the day of Pentecost, because this was foreshadowing spiritual life. It was the wind that came. And if you start to study scripture, you will see that when God wants to clear out demons, that's what he does. Look in Revelation 7:1. And I, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding, what are they holding? The four winds. That's judgment upon the earth. And he says, he goes on to say, don't release them yet. Don't bring judgment. Don't let the winds clear out the atmosphere yet till we have what? Sealed. The servants of our God. That's what I'm telling you. We need the wind of God to blow through some areas of our life to change the atmosphere, because this is part of consecration. You see what Hezekiah did before he could fix the temple, before he break down the high places. He cut down the images. He tore down the groves. We need to go and think about anything in our life, in our houses, that is polluting our atmosphere. I'm speaking to me too. I'm trying to think, is there anything more that I should do? As I said, for years I used to ignore that. I used to think, they're just being super spiritual. My wife is looking at me. I confess. I used to think, well, I've got the Holy Ghost. That's not going to bother me. That's okay. But you're letting your TV pray into your atmosphere. Right? And we say, oh, but it's... And he packages it so nice. It's something you want to see. It's a comedy or something. And it's enjoyable, and you can just let it pray to you. Filling your atmosphere. Filling your mind. Because faith comes by what? Okay, it didn't say what kind of faith. Bad faith, negative faith can come by hearing too. In other words, doubt. You keep hearing all negative things, and it will change your judgment. That's what's happened to America. They've been hearing for years homosexuality is okay because they can't help it and it's normal. So now you'll see that the polls that they took over the last 10 completely changed. There used to be a majority in opposition to gay marriage, and now there's a majority for gay marriage. It changed in like 10 years. You know what happened? The atmosphere. And the atmosphere was media, in a way, praying for that to happen through films, through plays, through internet, and it's happened. It's changed the thinking of the faith of people to say, well, you know, that isn't fair. And so a whole nation, majority now has changed. Do you see how the atmosphere changed? We need to let the Holy Spirit wind blow through the atmosphere, because this is part of consecration. And we see in this Old Testament in Ezekiel 37 an example of the wind coming in and changing the atmosphere of death and dryness and of no life. And when the wind came in and blew out, life came. Cleansing the atmosphere allows us to draw near. See, now once the wind had come through on the day of Pentecost, suddenly people were free of that demonic pressure, mind control. And so now they were able to receive a very simple message. You know, how long does Acts 2 take to read? 2 minutes? It wasn't a half-hour message. It wasn't a two-hour message. But now the atmosphere had been completely changed. The Holy Spirit had cleaned out those demons from miles around. They couldn't come near. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts because they were now in a clean atmosphere, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, this tells us something about witnessing, that before when we get into an area we're going to witness, we should just say a little prayer to clean out the atmosphere. Just say, God, we welcome your presence. Let your wind of the Holy Spirit just blow through this area before I speak to someone. Sister Audrey. Well, we see an example of it even when Jesus talked to his disciples. He said, if you go into a town, right, and they receive you, you let your peace, let your atmosphere stay there. If they don't receive you, you take your atmosphere with you. Take your peace with you. That's what he was saying. You're taking your presence, your spiritual presence. I'm telling you that if you look at what happened from the Palm Sunday to the day of Pentecost, you can see people act strange. One day they're praising him, 3 days later they're crucifying him, and 50 days later they're suddenly clean and saying, what shall we do? Because the atmosphere changed. I think that's the key to revival, is to change the atmosphere. We have to go through some of these things that I have been talking about. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day. Were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, the only thing they had seen, well, they hadn't seen it. They'd heard that Jesus had come back from the dead, but they hadn't seen anything. So it wasn't a miracle that they saw with their own eyes that made them believe. They did hear the men speak in their own language. They did see that. But I really believe it was the wind that blew through, took away the demonic pressure. Now they were free to really hear the word of God. And they continue, you know, 3,000 with just a simple message, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All before that Peter had said was the simple story that this was the Messiah that was promised and you crucified him, but really it wasn't you. But this was by the determinate counsel of God. Jesus allowed himself. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. And in, they kept the atmosphere. They kept the atmosphere going. You have to keep the atmosphere going. A one-time spray of oft will only last for a little bit. If you don't put any more, here come back the mosquitoes. Lord of the flies. Beelzebub. Sister Deborah. Actually, it's good you say that, because I was going to touch that. Yes, part of consecration, the steps, I was going to show that, involves repentance. Yes, that's part of consecration, because all have sinned and fallen short. We can't just come to God and say, okay, take me as I am because I'm pastor. No. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So part of consecration is saying, Lord, I've sinned. Even if it was just lack of faith, you have sinned. Even by sins of omission, maybe you didn't do something. Maybe it was something you were supposed to do that you didn't do. You were supposed to speak to someone. You're supposed to call someone. You're supposed to encourage someone. Maybe you had some doubt. Little foxes, what does it say? Spoil the vine. We all have sinned. But the good thing is, he disarmed him. He canceled the charges against us as long as if we confess and repent. Let's go on. You see, God predicted, prophesied in Isaiah what he's going to do. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones that are where? This is a prophecy of what's going to happen during the tribulation. The earth is going to become a prison. That's why he's taking us out of here. The earth is going to become, he's going to lock this earth up, spiritually speaking, and he's going to punish the high ones, these fallen beings that have been polluting his atmosphere. That's why it says the heavens shall melt like a scroll. It's going to burn like a scroll. It's going to be rolled up because it's the atmosphere. So how do we cleanse the atmosphere? And this is going to get to what you said, repentance is one of them. Well, the first thing you have to do is be separate, right? If you are in an atmosphere that's so polluted, you're going to have to get out of there. When firemen come to a house that's full of smoke, the only way they can go in there is they have to do what? They got to put a face mask on or get someone who doesn't have one out of there, okay? So we have to be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. You cannot, the Bible says, what fellowship does light and darkness have? You cannot be sharing in someone else's bad atmosphere. Let me just put it that way. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. Then that's a step towards consecration. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that he present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. We're not doing God any favors. We're not being good in any way. That's just what we're supposed to do. Come out from among them and be separate. Well, I'm not consorting with drug addicts or prostitutes or, but are there other little things that you haven't even thought of that you're letting pollute your atmosphere? You know, none of us would have probably qualified under the Old Testament as priests. You know why? Apart from the tribal thing, we're too defiled. You look in Leviticus at all the rules that they had to follow to officiate. Confession, Sister Deborah. You got it before I did. We have to confess. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. It said, repent. Confession. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 was not written to sinners. Do you know that? It was written to church folk. It wasn't written to sinners. It says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how we cleanse the atmosphere. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I didn't put everything up here that I could have for cleansing the atmosphere. Anyone got some thoughts on how can we cleanse our atmosphere? Absolutely, that's what I said. That we let the TV pray for us. It's offering up incense for hours. Think about that. Would we pray for as long as we have the TV on? Probably not. But it's going and it's putting out words into our atmosphere. Philip? Amen. The Bible said it's what comes out of a man that defiles us, right? It's what comes, it's the things we, words are such power. They have such power. Anyone else, any other things that you think would cleanse the atmosphere? We have to change our mindset because, as I said, you look at America 10, 15 years ago, there was no way you'd get a majority advocating making gay marriage official. And in just 10 years, it's reversed. What's happened is demonic influence. The media has prayed a prayer, an incense of it's okay, it's all right, they can't help it, into the atmosphere, and it's worked. Do you think that they were hiring Balaam because it never worked? No. If God had not shut his mouth, it would have worked. And now, devil has become so sophisticated, he's got media to pray for him, praying different changes of atmosphere all over the world. So that something that 20 years ago, no one would have thought was okay. Think about it. It's just like the mob. Why are you killing him? Well, we don't know, but crucify him. Weren't you saying Hosanna? Yeah, but crucify him. That's just look, think about what happened. 3 days, thousands of people welcomed him as Messiah. What the atmosphere changed. I believe that God allowed Jerusalem, and it's in the Bible. I could have put much more scriptures. It says that Babylon has fallen, has become a stronghold of demons. Let's not build a Babylon anywhere near us. Don't let the devil build any kind of edifice anywhere near you. Don't let him pollute your atmosphere, because not that you're going to necessarily be lost, but you're never going to have much spiritual strength or success. You'll always be fighting. You'll always be depressed. You know, in that movie when, sorry to keep quoting the movie, but it really just melded with what I was teaching. When that couple came to buy the house, he kept on walking into the closet and walking out because he felt a different atmosphere. I want when people come into this church that there is such an atmosphere of love, of peace. Amen. That this place is surrounded by God's angels. That nothing that would harm or destroy, Sister Brownie. Absolutely. Right. And in fact, next month, as a continuation of this, the topic that I don't know if I should say it yet, is actually meditation. Meditation. Thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I would not sin against thee. So praise, well, recommit our hearts to God is confession, and then we recommit our hearts to God. Psalm 34, 18, listen to this. The Lord is nigh, or near, unto them that are what? Of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When we recommit our hearts to God, the Bible says he draws near. That's consecration. That's consecration. And of course, I did not put it in here, but praise. Praise. Do you understand that the devil now has found a new age way of praying, and that's media. He's spraying out into the atmosphere his own brand of theology. And it's 24/7, and it's going nonstop. And it is having an effect. It's having an effect. It's changing people's thoughts and judgments to where what they used to think was wrong, well, that ain't so bad. It's okay. What's happened is our judgment has been skewed from what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And that's because of the atmosphere, Sister. World of Warcraft. There are several of them that are marketed just as games. And they're very entertaining and very addictive. I know a guy at work, that's all he does. He spends hours. You see what's happening? His atmosphere has been captivated. Amen. And before you know it, you're into this virtual world, because I know a young man at work. I've given him a Christian book, and I was hoping that he would get into the book, I could tell the pull on him. He said he read the first, he listened to the first, half hour, and that was probably 6 weeks ago, and every week I go and say, have you listened? Well, no. I said, well, what were you doing? Well, I was in this, online multi-person. So he is captivated. But I know this, that the Bible says that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down. This is what we're fighting. And this is how you will get victory, is by first clearing the atmosphere. You saw it on the day of Pentecost. We miss it, that it didn't just fill them. The wind filled the house, and it needed to, because that was where the atmosphere was. I'm almost finished. So we have be separate. Confession, recommit our hearts, and of course, praise. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's how we get the atmosphere start to cleanse. Just praise God. You think Satan likes to hear God being praised? Oh no, that'll drive him away faster than almost anything. Just when you start to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this love note. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my car having a flat tire. Thank you, I couldn't find my keys. Thank you, I lost some money, Lord, because I know that there is a purpose in it. Maybe it was to bless someone else. In all things, right? You're changing your atmosphere. That's the easiest one to do, is to start spraying thanks. And even when you can't think of a reason right now, think of a past reason. Just go back 10 years and say, Lord, 10 years ago, I remember I was in that accident and how you saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, for that. You know what you're doing? You're making the demons go away. They can't stand that. You're cleansing your atmosphere. Go to your desk in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for this job. Maybe a horrible job. It may be something that gives you pain. Just start thanking Jesus for it. It may be something you hate. Just lay your hands on your desk and start thanking Jesus. Anoint your computer. Say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Let's cleanse the atmosphere, because this is part of consecration. Amen? We are in the world, but the Bible says we are not supposed to be of the world. Amen. Let's stand. I hope you have been blessed by this. We need to come against the atmosphere and start declaring some things. Go through your house, even if you feel self-conscious, and speak. Literally speak out loud, even if you're by yourself. Anoint the walls of your house. Declare that this place is a place of God's presence. This is a place of his temple. Invite the Holy Spirit. Call the four winds to blow through your house, spiritually speaking. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's confess our faults, because he is faithful. Don't arm him again. Don't pick up some stuff that's going to make you start feeling guilty, that Satan can start accusing you of again, because what you're doing is you're giving him back his weapons. At the cross, Jesus disarmed him, took away every accusation. I just love that modern translation. He said it canceled all the charges. As I said, my rap sheet would be. But he canceled all the charges. Canceled all the charges. Amen. We are going to consecrate not only this temple, but this temple. Amen. We want our homes to be a place that is full of the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the grace of God. And if we start to do that, we'll see all kinds of other areas of our life blossom spiritually. Amen? If we just understand how it works. It's not enough that we have the oil here. We need to start sprinkling some around. We need to start sprinkling some around. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just